Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Want to help write a State of the Union address for President Obama? We're inviting you to collaborate with other Brian Lehrer Show listeners to write a draft State of the Union address on our website. This is an online collaboration, not a debate, not a comments board, and it's going on all day today, right now, and right up until the State of the Union at 9 o'clock. Anyone can take part. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to help write a group draft of a State of the Union address. We're going to talk to Congressman Wiener. After that, we're going to take about 10 minutes of calls from two groups of you reacting to the president's reported proposals. And you can start calling right now and get in line if you care to. Small business owners and unemployed or underemployed listeners. If this year will be about job creation, especially at small businesses, how are these things, as we've been reading and hearing described a little by Jackie Combs, sitting with you? Is the president on the right track? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 if you are seeking work or if you own a small business. Business owners, no capital gains tax for small business investments, a tax credit for new hires at small businesses. Will these things help create jobs, help you create jobs this year, in your opinion? 212-433-9692. If you're unemployed, have you heard anything so far about Obama 2010 that makes you think the government is working for you, against you, or maybe has no power over your job situation? If you're unemployed, 212-433-9692. And how about the new benefits for middle-class families, the child care tax credits, the retirement savings plans, the student loan caps? If you're a small business owner or are unemployed, are these things you favor or oppose or make you shrug? Call up 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 if you're a small business owner or if you're unemployed, to react to these new proposals coming out. And we'll put you on the air right after we talk to Congressman Wiener for a few minutes. 212-433-9692 if you're either unemployed or if you own a small business. Now, Congressman Anthony Wiener, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens, has been on many times in the last year, as many of you know, advocating single payer and public option health care reform. So we'll get his reaction to the State of the Union proposals that are leaking out and his take on what's left of the health reform bill. So, Congressman Wiener, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
How dead is the health reform effort?
Well, it needs the jaws of life, or some metaphor. I mean, I think the president needs to use this speech to say that the fate of our economy, job creation, the future of the deficit and debt are tied to health reform. And I think, and I've said this on your show, you know, part of my critique of this debate is it's been too much around the sausage making of where the 60 votes come from and hasn't been enough about the ideals of our party and the ideals that go into health reform. And maybe the president will jumpstart things tonight by saying clearly the things that he believes should be in health reform, why it's important, and get back to thinking about how we get the American people back supporting it. You know, we have about $350 billion of debt in the 50 states, the deficits that those 50 states, including $7 billion or so in our state, about a third of that is health care, is Medicaid expenditures. And so the two things can't be separated, and I hope that the president doesn't walk away from the fight. If anything, if we're not going to get health care reform, he should go down guns a-blazing rather than with the whimper that seems to be coming out right now.
And you're quoted on the Reuters wire today saying if you're going to get health reform done, it'll have to be soon. How soon, and why did you put it that way?
Well, because I think that the president needs to be the one who jumpstarts this tonight. I mean, my critique is that this was a very we need to do health reform. We need to protect people who have insurance. We need to get costs down. We need to cover those that are uninsured. I think that part of what we've allowed to happen is kind of this to drift towards health reform rather than being led by the president. And I think that he needs to get back to doing that. If he doesn't do that tonight, I think that there's going to increasingly be a lack of will in Congress on both sides of the aisle to deal with this anymore. So I think it has to be done pretty quickly.
One way around Scott Brown taking Kennedy's seat is if you all in the House accept the Senate bill as is, then it wouldn't need any more votes in the Senate. but Speaker Pelosi says she cannot get a majority for that right now. Would you vote to accept the Senate bill as is if given the chance, despite your differences with it?
Well, not without. It has to be improved in many ways. Frankly, it doesn't have 218 votes in the House, and I'll go one further. I didn't even think it could pass the Senate today. It was seen as something incremental to get us to the goal line, which we're at now. No, the burden that would be placed on, you know, we'd have a bad combination of people being forced to get insurance and then not providing enough subsidy for middle class and working families. The language in there on a woman's right to choose is abysmal. It doesn't do anything to close the donut hole. It doesn't have the public option. It was never intended to be the final product. Now, I do believe that the Senate, after meandering around for months about this and letting Max Baucus write the bill and Joe Lieberman and Olympia Snow, I think that we in the House are prepared to pass a bunch of essentially fixes to this bill. If the Senate tells us they're willing to go ahead and pass it with 51 votes, I think that there's a foundation to revive this plan.
I think it was Howard Fineman on MSNBC the other night who said the president took his historic election mandate and handed it all over to Max Baucus. Are you chastened, though, by the election of Scott Brown and the polls that go with it? Did the Democrats overreach on health care compared to what people want?
I think we didn't reach enough. I think that we were not clear enough about the ideals that were driving this. I think the way we dismissed the single payer and public option, you know, when we jettisoned the public option because one senator or another didn't like it, it was gaining in popularity. It had something like the support of 65% of the American people, and it was growing every day. We did the opposite. What we did is we allowed this to be a focus on the sausage making inside the Beltway rather than talking about in the terms that Americans in all 50 states wanted to hear us discuss. We made this overly complicated. It ultimately became driven too much by accommodations with the health insurance industry and with the pharmaceutical industry. If you look at the polls we're taking the next day of people that voted, what those voters said, even those that voted for Scott Brown, said that they didn't think that the health debate was clear and ambitious enough. They didn't think it would help them enough. And I couldn't agree more. It's not irretrievable, but it's getting close, and we need to get the American people. I mean, we need to be less concerned about Joe Lieberman's whims and more concerned about the 100 million Americans who are out there looking at this, trying to figure out if they support it.
Congressman Wiener, my guest. I've been looking at the Kaiser Foundation tracking poll on health care legislation. I don't know if you look at this, but I think I see where some of this went wrong. One of the most popular elements of the bill was that it would not change people's existing arrangements. 66% said that made them more likely to support the bill, that it would not force them to change their current health care. So one big problem, I think, was they were so careful not to disrupt our current health system, which, you know, you and I might agree is terrible, that it left only bad ways to cover the uninsured. Do you think there's anything to that view?
I think there is. Look, if you want to look at, I'll look at an even earlier departure point. When the president said out of hand, we're not going to change the way anyone's insurance handles them, you know, it puts you in a little bit of a box and gives a lot of cards to the health insurance industry to go out and say, oh, no, this is going to change, and this is going to change, and this is going to change, even though all of those changes might be good for health care, good for the individual person, and an improvement. We got ourselves in a little bit of a rhetorical box, and again, the president, I think, deserves a lot of credit. I'm not one of these people who said he shouldn't have taken up health care. I think the problem is that we tried to be, I don't know, half pregnant with the health insurance industry. You know, they are, when you have $300 billion going just for profits and overhead in insurance companies each year, and you want to save money, there's no place else to do it but there. And I think we made a tactical mistake by not making that case clearer to the American people.
Well, interestingly, it was Republicans and independents who really believed in keeping existing insurance and ranked that in their top four priorities. It wasn't Democrats. And it still got to 2/3 of the public overall in the Kaiser poll, but that was not on the top four priority list of Democrats, keeping the current insurance arrangements of people who like them. But look at this. The most unpopular element, the thing most likely to make people oppose the bill, in all three categories, Democrat, Republican, Independent, the biggest point of opposition was the individual mandate to own insurance or pay a penalty. Were you aware of that?
Well, it makes sense because what we have, and this is one of the reasons why the Senate bill is untenable, you can't have a mandate forcing people to do something, which frankly most a lot of people viscerally don't respond well to that, unless you provide them with some type of a benefit or subsidy to be able to afford what we're forcing them to buy. That's the great failing of the Senate bill. There's no doubt about it that the irony here is the thing that made this least popular, where we were forcing people to become customers of the health insurance industry, and the health insurance industry did a brilliant job of driving the very thing we were trying to do to help out the insurance industry here as a negative about the plan. We got ourselves tied in a rhetorical knot. Unfortunately, that's where we stand today. But I think going forward, what we need to do is reinforce some basic principles. The idea of choice and competition, I believe in, and there's an effort afoot here in Congress to try to breathe life into the public option as a form of reconciliation. It only needs 51 votes. Another thing we need to do is take some of the things we know are lagging in the Medicare as it exists, like the prescription drug donut hole. I think that we should end the antitrust exemption for insurance companies to if they really do want to compete over state lines, let's make sure that they compete fairly. I think these types of things people are popular and that people would support, but unfortunately we've been focused too much on what it takes to buy a vote here or there in the Senate.
Congressman Anthony Weiner with us for just another couple of minutes. Then we'll go to your calls. If you own a small business or if you are currently unemployed, to get your reaction to what's coming out about some of the State of the Union proposals from the president tonight, 212-433-WNYC. If you own a small business or if you are currently unemployed, 212-433-9692. And let's finish up with you, Congressman Weiner, to get your quick reactions to some of these things that are leaking out now from the White House. An executive order to freeze most domestic spending other than Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for 3 years. You like it?
Well, you can't leave defense off that list and expect it to be very credible. It's the overwhelming majority. I think it's 70% of all of our discretionary spending is on defense. I find it hard to believe there's no savings there. Look, I consider myself a fiscally responsible person. I believe we need to get the deficits under control, but we also need to be careful that we don't play into the trap. These commissions that are formed are usually target commissions for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. I think the president should say, we're going to save Social Security. We're going to make sure to put everything on the table. But let's face it, the reason why we have these big deficits is fewer people are working. That means a bigger draw on government programs, less taxes coming in.
The capital gains tax suspension for investment in small businesses and tax credit for businesses that create new jobs.
I like the idea. Again, the thing that's going to do the point of the sword of solving all our problems are getting people back to work. Small businesses make about 65% of the new jobs in New York City. I'm for it.
What's the student loans cap? Do you understand it?
I actually don't. We've asked as soon as that leaked out. I asked the White House to and the middle class caucus. You know, I'm the chair of the middle class caucus in Congress. But I think the overall aspiration here is that we have to make sure that the aggregate and interest that pile on families who are trying to finance debt to get their kids through college is limited in some way. I'm not quite sure how the mechanism is supposed to work.
All right. Congressman Anthony Weiner, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, don't forget, during the State of the Union address tonight, I will be hosting an online chat at WNYC.org. So if you want to hang out online with other Brian Lehrer Show listeners while you're watching the speech or listening to the speech, come on in. We will also have joining us Pat Morrison, who does a similar show to this one on the public radio station in Los Angeles, and a lot of her listeners. So it should be really great with lots of public radio listeners on both coasts live chatting during the State of the Union address on our website at 9 o'clock tonight, WNYC.org, of course.